Thank you. Well, let's open the Bible, the book of Matthew 17 today. Please keep my volume up if you don't care. My voice is kind of raspy and scratchy, so I promise you I won't be able to blow you out. Amen. Matthew 17. It's good to be back at Island Ford. I wish I could remember how many years it's been since I've been here, but it has been a day or two. Amen. And so we're glad to be back with you today. Enjoyed Sunday school class this morning. Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Bell, for giving that to our heart today. Well, let me ask you a question before we start today. The question is this: why did you come to church today? So it's a thing to do. Well, do you reckon the motivation should be a little deeper than that? What do you think? Amen. So why did you really come today? And did you come expecting to get something that would change your life? You know, I think sometimes we get a place in life where we reach a plateau, and subconsciously, it's like we don't expect to develop any farther than where we are. But I'm telling you, when we measure ourselves by the Christ of Calvary, by the Son of God, we have a great distance to grow. Amen. Matthew 17 is our passage today. We'll begin reading. And you follow with us as we read beginning verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said to them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Be seated, if you will. Let me have prayer with you. Then I'll show you what I want to try to deal with today. Father, I want to thank you for our dear Savior, Jesus. Thank you, dear God, for you sending him in this world to be the sacrifice for our sins. And Lord, I want to thank you that on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I will thank you, dear Lord, that he was buried. Now I will thank you that he rose again the 3rd day, according to scriptures, and that, Lord, he rose for my justification. And I will thank you, dear God, for the day you saved me. You forgave my sins, and Lord, and created in me a new person. And I will thank you, Lord, from the bottom of my heart for what you've done in my own life. I want to thank you for being able to be here at Island Ford again. And I'm praying, dear God, the Holy Spirit now would use the word to help us today. I pray the blessings of God on the pastor and his family and on Brother Hall and his family. And Lord, you know the needs today of this church and these people. And Lord, I'm going to ask you now to do a blessed work in our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to look back, if you would, please, in verses number 4. This will be our text today. and we'll try to build from this context and then using verse 4 basically as the idea. So you know the story. I'm sure you're not new to the story. How Jesus is on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And there he is transfigured before the disciples that he took with him. And the incident so dramatically affected Peter that in verse number 4, he made this statement. He said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles in this and so. I'm interested in the statement he made here where he said to Jesus, it is good for us to be here. Now, my question is this today. When you leave here today, will you be able to look back on this worship service and say that it was good for me to be here in this service today? Now, let me lay a little background for you, and then we'll try to dig in this a little bit. Now, first of all, I want to remind you of chapter 16 in Matthew. Now, you remember what the Lord said? The Lord said to his disciples, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember that statement? And you remember Peter spoke of him and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus responded unto him and said, that flesh and blood does not reveal this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And you know, we call that the great confession. So on Matthew 16, Peter has been blessed by God, by God giving him a real revelation of who the Son of God is. And so we have this, we have the great confession in chapter 16. Then in very few verses following that, here is what happened. Jesus began to show the disciples that he would be going to Jerusalem, he would be mistreated, he would be turned over to the Gentiles, and he would be crucified and die, and would be raised again the third day. When the Lord Jesus gave that information to them, then Peter, right after Peter, had this great experience of God, and God revealed to him who the Son of God was. Now Peter begins to take Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him. Now you need to get a thought about that. He just got through confessing that Jesus was the Son of the living God. A few verses later, he is taking Jesus aside and he is rebuking the very one who is the Son of God. And basically he doesn't want Jesus, of course, to die, and he's wanting him to avoid that situation. So now then the Lord has to correct him by reminding him that Satan is leading him. So Peter has got this great confession, and then he's got a great correction that God gives him. Now you move down to verse number 27. Matter of fact, you got your Bible open. Look in verse number 27 of chapter number 16. Now you don't think I'm going anywhere, maybe, but I really am. Now look in verse number 27 of chapter 16. Look what it said. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So the Lord now is revealing them, giving a prediction here, that he's going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels. But look at verse 28. Then here's what he said. He said, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his glory. Well, what's the Lord saying here? He is saying here that some of you disciples are going to see me in my glory. Now look at that. He is giving a prediction here that some of his disciples are going to view him in his glory. Now then, when you get down to chapter 17, look at verse number 1. So he just gave a prediction in chapter 17 that the Son of Man was going to be seen by some of these disciples in his glory. Now, verse number 1, chapter 17. Then 6 days later here, after six days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain. And verse 2, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as a sun, and his raiment was white as light. What he said in chapter 16, 27, 28, is coming to pass here in chapter number 17, 1 and 2. He is showing them a measure of his glory. You say, Brother Wells, will we see that? Yeah. Now, look here, if you would. Look in chapter 16, 27 again. And I want to show you this now. Now, here's what Jesus is doing here. He said, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father. What Jesus is doing here, he's giving these three disciples a glimpse of the king's realm when he sets it, neighbor, either in millennium or in heaven. He's letting these disciples get a glimpse of what's about to take place above. Amen. And through the scripture, he's given you and I a chance to get a glimpse of it as well. Now, notice something else in chapter 17, verse 2. He's not only given them a glimpse of his realm, but he's given them a glimpse of his royalty. He's been transfigured before their eyes, and they're getting a glimpse of the royalty of the Son of God. Now, let me ask you, how royal do you see him? I mean, when you get a glimpse of him, how royal do you get to see the Son of God, either in the prayer time or in worship time? Now, look at verse number 3 again. So what the Lord's doing here now, excuse me, in verse number 3, they are seeing Moses. And the Bible said, behold, there appeared on him Moses and Elias. Now, we know that's Elijah here. So what he's doing here, he's getting them, letting them see a glimpse of those who will be in the kingdom. In other words, Abraham or Moses and Elijah look here is how we'll look in the kingdom. Amen. Whenever we get there with him, neighbor, we will appear like they did, amen, in glory. You know there's something better than what you got. You do know that, don't you? There's something better than you got here. Now then, now notice again verse number 4. We put you on it now. In verse number 4, here's what Peter did. He was so impressed now with what he's seeing here. He says to the Lord, it is good for us to be here. Now, let me give you this idea. So, let me ask you, what is a house of God? How do you define a house of God? Well, you say, well, it's this building here where we meet. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you remember the story of Jacob? You know, Jacob is going from Canaan. He's going back to Mesopotamia to get a bride. And he lays down one night and he takes a rock for a pillow. You remember that? And he has this vision of this ladder going from earth to heaven. He's seeing angels ascending and descending. And at the top of the ladder, he sees the Son of God. And when Jacob woke up, here's what he said. Surely the Lord was in this place, and he knew it not. And he called the name of the place Bethel, which means the house of God. Well, there's no building there. There's no building there. How can that be the house of God? Well, can I say this? You reckon the house of God can be a place where God meets with his children. What do you think? Yeah, you say, well, Brother Wells, with this, God's house, God doesn't meet with us anywhere else but here. Can I say this to you? I don't live in the house of God 24 hours a day. If I'm restricted to God meet with me just here, I am in bad shape. Amen. God can meet with me in a lot of more places than just the building where I am. Amen. So can I say this? You reckon it'd be all right to say that the house of God is where God meets with his people. You reckon I'd say that? Well, that'd be all right to say that the house of God is where God meets with his people. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you a question here. Can we say this in Matthew 17:4? Peter and James and John is with Christ on the mountain of transfiguration, right? Is God meeting with them on that mountain? Is God revealed in that mountain? Yeah. Was Christ not overshadowed? And you know what that is, don't you? You know, when Christ was transfigured, it is the God part of him that's been hidden that's coming out. Oh, brother. The God part of Christ, which they did not see every day, now it's been transfigured and coming out of him. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. There's a part of me you can't see. But can I tell you, the God part of me is going to come out someday. I'm not God in the flesh, but I got a part of God in me. Amen. And someday that God part in me, you'll see more of that than you do my flesh. Amen. So here on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father is heard, right? God the Son has seen his glory. Is that right? And he's got three disciples there with him. Is that right? Is that right now? So can we say that this situation in Matthew 17 is emblematic of the house of God? Can y'all see that? It's emblematic of them meeting in the house of God and God being present there. Amen. Amen. So let me ask you, is it profitable to be in the house of God when God comes by? Amen. Is it profitable to be in the house of God when God makes a visit with His people there? Amen. So here's the point now. Neighbor, Peter said, it's good for us to be here. You reckon that when you leave today, that you can say, it was good for me to be at Island Ford Baptist Church this morning because I got something that'll help me tomorrow. Amen to God. Now, I'll just show you a couple of things right quickly, and I'll be done. Amen. Notice verse number 1. Y'all with me now? Don't let me do all this by myself, okay? I mean, participate with me. Let me know you're out there. Amen. Now, notice verse number 1. Notice what it said now. Look carefully. The Bible said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. Now, I want you to look at verse number 1 again. Notice the word taketh now. I get the idea here that these boys did not go on the mountain alone. They didn't go on their own mission. They didn't volunteer to go. They were led. Amen. The word of God said Jesus took them. The idea of taking means like getting a child by the hand, leading a child where that child might not go. The idea here is this, that Jesus Christ is leading them up that mountain. Amen. He's leading them to the place He can meet with them. Oh my God. Y'all hear that? He's leading them to the place where He can meet with them. Do you know, maybe just today when you came to church, got in your car to come here, maybe you didn't sense it, but maybe God had you by the hand leading you here today to give you something. Amen. Maybe this is a place God wants to give you something today that will transform your life on tomorrow. Amen. Praise God. So what I'm going to say here, well, the first thing I see here is here's what's good for them to be here. They have got navigation or they've got leadership from God. Can I tell you this? I've got leadership from God in the house of God more than I've got anywhere else. Amen. My life has been changed by the leadership God gave me in the house of God when I did. Let me ask you this question now. Are you looking for God to lead you in anything? Are you looking for God to lead you today? Are you looking for God to lead you tomorrow? Are you looking for God to lead your life? Or are you just taking it for granted, just moving along by the flow? I don't want that in my life. I know what you want yours, but I don't want to just go with the flow. I want to know that I've got the hand of God leading me in everything I do. Amen. I want to know God is doing the leading. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Wells, will God lead you? You know it well. The Word of God makes it clear, David, that I'm to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm to lean not to my own understanding. All my ways acknowledge Him. He shall what? Direct my path. Can I say today, God wants to direct your path. You say, I want to direct my life. Yeah, but you know how God directs your life? If God directs your life, He directs it a step at a time. Amen. If you're not willing to let God lead your steps, He'll never lead your life. He'll never guide your life if you'll not let Him lead one step at a time. Amen. You got the house of God. You got the seat you're sitting on this morning one step at a time. A step from the bed to the bathroom. A step from the bathroom to the closet. A step from the house to the car. A step from the car in the house of God. A step from the door to where you're sitting. You got there one step at a time. That's how God will lead your life one step at a time. Amen. Brother Wells, I don't need it. What? You don't need God's leadership? You don't need God. Well, have you got your crystal ball? Can you tell me what's going to happen tomorrow? Can you tell me what will happen on the job tomorrow? Can you tell me that you'll get out of bed tomorrow? No. Come here now. Here's why you need His leadership. Because you do not have eyes to see what tomorrow holds. I'm glad I got a God that sees what tomorrow is. Amen. I'm glad I got a God that knows what will happen on tomorrow. If I let Him follow, I let Him guide my steps today. Hallelujah. I'll be where He wants me to be tomorrow. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I'm so short-sighted. I can't see what to do. Can I say, are y'all listening today?
Are you sure you are? I want to give you a scripture now, and it's really, a hard one to understand. Y'all listen now. John 17:5. Jesus said that with, maybe it's 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear what the Bible said? Without me, you can do nothing. Brother Wills, I'll tell you what I can do. I can do nothing. Amen. You don't even have the power to make your lungs suck in air. You don't have the power to make your heart beat one more time. You don't have the power to make your life live one more second beyond right now. How much power now? Nothing. You don't have no power. That's why I need Him. I've got to have Him. Why? I don't have power in myself. I can do nothing without Him. Amen. Nothing. Did y'all hear that? Because see, maybe that's our problem today. Maybe that's one of our problems, is we think we can do more than what we can do. Yet if we had laid down at His feet, put ourselves at His feet, and yield everything we are to Him, just maybe God might move in these days again. Why? Because I can't do nothing without Him. I need His guidance. I need His leadership. Amen. Come here now. Anybody ever made a decision you wish you hadn't made?
Oh, yeah.
Come on now. I see we're all angels here. Amen. No. We made a lot of decisions we wish you hadn't made. Come on, let's say amen. Made a lot of choices you wish you never had made. And you know why? You know how we made them? Because we were not allowing Him to lead our life and guide our life the way He wanted to lead us and guide us. Amen. I need His leadership. Can I say this today? When those boys came off the mountain, they knew they had been in the midst of leadership. Amen. Praise God. Can I tell you this? It would be wonderful, wonderful if some of y'all would go home today. And when you left this building, got in your car to go home, you would have a sense in your heart that God had led you in some manner today. Amen. Praise God. What a thrill to feel the hand of God guiding you and leading you. And you know, it's not man doing what you're doing, but God's in the leadership.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why it's good for them to be there. They left that day knowing God had led them.
Right.
Amen. What a joy. What a joy. And just maybe today, maybe there'll be somebody here today that leave out of here and know that God has led you. Maybe there's something you're doing in your life. Maybe there's some practice you got that God is not fully pleased with.
Right.
Come on now. Maybe there's something that God cannot smile on in your life. Maybe God will speak to you today, let you see that that's the wrong thing to do, the wrong thing to act, way that's in your life. And neighbor, by that, if God gives you leadership that makes your life better tomorrow than it was today, you're a better Christian.
Amen.
Amen. You're a better Christian. We okay still?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now look back at your Bible, please. Look verse 1 again. So now watch it now. Watch now. So look what the Bible said. So the Bible said after 6 days, Jesus taketh somebody. Who did He take here? Come now. Who did He take? Y'all can read, right? Amen. He took who? He took Peter. Who the next guy? And the next guy? Or now then. All of them didn't get to go, right? No, but here's the idea. This day, Jesus singled out Peter, James, and John. He said, boys, I'm taking you with me today. Now, wait a minute now. See, you got 8, you got 9, 10, you got 9 others that didn't get to go. Come here now, help me, Lord. Got 9 that didn't go. What's saying? He said, Peter, James, and John, come on, boys. I want you to spend some secret time with me.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that? He's allowing these 3 here to have fellowship with Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know what happened on the mountain, but I don't know what they got at the top of the mountain. So they got private time with Him.
Amen.
Oh, brother. Amen. Does anybody know what it's like to have private time with Him? Could you, oh my goodness. What a God that looked down on you someday and said, you're the one I want to spend time with today. I want you to come apart. I want you to be with me today. Come and fellowship with me. Amen. Here's what they got. On that mountain that day, they had a chance, my friend, for fellowship, a communication with the Son of God. Are y'all listening today? Are y'all sure you are? Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do y'all believe God's a creator? Amen. Y'all believe that? Do y'all believe that He created 200 million universes like the one we're part of?
Right.
You're not too sure about that. But He did. They have already discovered over 200 million universes that, like ours, with multiplied billions of stars in every one of them, and He created all 200 million of them.
Amen.
Pretty big God, wouldn't you say? What's your name?
Jonathan.
Come here, Jonathan. No, sit still. And here it is. This Creator that created all the universes and He made everything there is to make said to you, come spend time with me.
Amen.
Whoa!
Amen.
Come spend time with me. Are y'all understanding that prayer that God giving you an invitation to come spend time with the Creator of everything there is? Amen to God.
Amen.
That's what He's doing with Peter, James, and John. He's saying, come up here, boys. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to fellowship with me. Amen to God. What a privilege to spend time with Him in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He is saying to those boys, my goodness, no wonder Peter said, it's good for us to be here. Amen. You ever been in prayer when God met with you, whether it was at home or in the car or in the church, wherever it was, and God met with you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And if you've been like I've been, I didn't want Him to let up.
That's right.
Amen. Lord, hang around. And I'm like Elijah. Sometimes I've ate of that manna and I've gone 40 days in the strength of that meeting. Amen to God. That's right. Praise God. Here's what I'm saying. Here's why it was good for them to be here. That Jesus Christ met with them. God met with them. Amen. Is anybody here fairly stubborn today? Come. Anybody in this crowd felt a little tug from another world this morning? That's Him saying, I want a fellowship with you. See, nobody around here can see it, but in your heart, you can feel it. And yeah, sometimes it comes gushing out the eyeballs. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Try it. Hallelujah. And look here now, look here. Now, not only are they going to get fellowship with Him, your name? Who? Last name? All right, Houston. And you're?
Kristen.
Miss Houston. Here's what He's saying. Come here. He's saying, now come on now. I don't want any fellowship with me only, but I want y'all to fellowship together too.
Amen.
That's right. Y'all listen to me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Y'all see. Look here. You got Peter, James, and John with the Son of God. The Son of God said, I want to spend time with you. I want to fellowship with you. But now while we're up here, I want you to fellowship with one another.
Amen. That's good.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
See, it would not have been right for Peter to be mad at John.
Right.
Matter of fact, if Peter had been mad at John, Jesus wouldn't have met with him.
That's right.
Because the very moment that Peter started straying, God intervened.
Yeah.
Man, that's right. Now look around here now. I don't know y'all. You know, I've kind of lost settled on your personality here in this church. I don't know how you are. But you're not a mega church, that's for sure. Amen.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Is when you leave this building today, will there be anybody that you didn't shake hands with? Come on now. When you leave this building today, will there be anybody here that you didn't speak to? Will there be anybody here you didn't shake hands with? You listen to me.
Yes, sir.
God sent every one of y'all here today for everybody else to fellowship with.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
good. Yes, sir.
Amen. Not only will they have fellowship with the Son of God, but they have fellowship with one another.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all my heart, a church, yes, a family fellowship.
Sure it is. Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah. And for to treat a brother or sister like I don't care for them, Alma, means you ain't right.
That's right. Amen.
Then you're the one that's not right. Now, if they might have done you wrong, that might be why you act that way. But the responsibility to forgive is on your shoulders.
Right. Amen.
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 You say, well, I'll forgive when folks say, you know, apologize to me. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'd wait on everybody that offended me to apologize to me before I forgive them, I'd be bitter to God right now. Right. But I chose, thank God, to go ahead and forgive them. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Praise God. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
See, they're on the mountain with him. Why? Because he gave them an opportunity for leadership. He gave them opportunity to fellowship with him and also with other saints of God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Yep.
This church ought to become more of a family fellowship every time you get together. Every time you come in, I'm telling you, you ought to know more about your brother and sister. You ought to feel their burdens more than you did when you came. Amen. And when you go out of this place tonight and you go home, you ought to feel in your heart the burdens of your brothers and sisters. My brother, well, I don't much care for them. I don't care. Feel it anyway. Amen. Praise God. That's right. That's right. That's right. So, see, no wonder Peter said it's good for us to be here. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Now look at verse number 2. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
All right, look at verse number 2. And the Bible said he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as a sun, and his raiment was white as light. Well, I know that y'all know this, but let me just say it again. The word transfigured, the Hebrew means to transform, and it comes from the same word we get our metamorphosis from, right? Y'all know that? Shake it. Though if you don't know, just don't do it. Just do what you're doing. Then I'll know. Amen. Is that okay? Boy, I'm glad y'all ain't got a camera on this thing. So, now wait a minute now. See, there's a part of Doug that you'll never know.
Right.
Amen. Guarantee you, Doug doesn't go around and say, zip, see me.
Right.
No. There's a part of him you won't never see.
Right.
There's a part of me you won't never see.
Right.
I don't go around confessing my sins to people. Amen. I don't go around confessing my faults to people.
Right.
Unless I do them wrong and then I'm forced to do it. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
But now look here now. So now here they are, and they've got there on the mountain with the Lord. And the Bible said Jesus is transfigured. In other words, what's inside him is coming out.
Yep.
Right?
Right?
Like the butterfly. Amen. See, when you see that, when you see that old worm eating around on your flowers, you say, look at that rascal. That worm is chewing up my flowers. Squash.
Yeah.
And what was inside him, you said, what was inside him? Did come out. Yeah. But there's more inside him than what you squashed out.
Right.
Amen. See, that butterfly had got something inside him, and when the process completed, when he comes out of that cocoon and stretches those wings and flies away. Anybody ever observed a butterfly come out of a cocoon? Anybody ever observed that? Anybody? Well, just one, two, and that makes one, two. I preached a message on butterfly. You never heard of it, have you? I preached a message on the monarch butterfly. And there's a man sent me in the mail 3 cocoons of a monarch butterfly. We set up in our house and we watched them daily. We watched them as they started coming out. One of them we missed and found him on the curtain. Amen.
Yeah.
what was in that worm ended up being this beautiful monarch butterfly.
Amen.
It's called metamorphosis.
Right.
Amen. And that's what Peter and James, that's what Peter and James John were saying. They were seeing that part of God that was in Christ in that body that they hadn't seen before.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, what are you trying to say? Well, here's what I'm saying. Did he not tell them, you're going to see me in my glory? Is that right? So here's what they're seeing. They were here there on the mountain of Christ, and they're experiencing glorification.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen.
They are experiencing some glory. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody in this crowd today? Is there anybody here that's been in the house of God and you got a taste of glory while you were there? Whew. Anybody here? Oh yeah, you never ever forgot about it, have you? I've never ever, when God comes in, I get a glimpse of His glory. It does something to my life. And I'm going to tell you right now, if God comes through this morning, it does something in you. You'll go away and you're not going to forget it. Praise God, you're not going to forget it. They're experiencing here a little of His glory. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to preach on that, but I'm going to look at verse number 3. I'm going to give you this now. Y'all looking at it? Don't make me do it by myself now. Look at verse number 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Okay? Okay. So, how long has Moses been off the face of the earth? Somebody said pretty good time. Who said that? Somebody said something. What do you think, preacher? Maybe at this juncture, 2,000 years? Moses has been dead 2,000 years. Elijah has been dead nearly 800 years. Wait a minute now. They've been dead 2,000 years and 800 years. And there they are. Come here now. 2,000 years dead, 800 years dead, and now Peter, James, and John are looking at them. Let me ask you a question. Is this a verification of life after death or what?
Sure. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Do you know men like this guy named Tony Aaron Foster? Y'all remember that? Anybody know that name, Aaron Foster? Anybody know that name? Okay, that's good. Y'all don't watch football. Aaron Foster, you remember, anybody know the name of Daniel Radcliffe? Okay. Daniel Radcliffe is the guy that played Harry Potter. Aaron Foster is a running back in the NFL. You ever heard of Richard Dawkins? Or Richard Dawkins? Richard Dawkins is a major atheist in England.
Right.
You ever know this guy? What's his guy? Hawkins? Stephen Hawking, remember that guy?
Right. Yeah.
You surely seen his picture in the paper. Stephen Hawking, he's in a wheelchair. He cannot communicate. He got a computer hooked up to him somehow or another. And what he's thinking somehow or another, the computer tells everybody what he's thinking. So where are you going with that? Did you know every one of these guys say there ain't no life after death?
Yeah.
And multiplied thousands of others of our college professors are screaming at our kids and even toning them and pointing their mind, saying there ain't no such thing as God. There ain't no life after death. There ain't no life after death. Are y'all listening to me today?
Yeah.
And I declare, since there ain't no life after death, who is that guy on the mountain? Since ain't no life after death, who are both, matter of fact, while we're talking about, who are both of those guys on the mountain there? Can I tell you this? There was no cameras. Come on now. No cameras. No artist. Pictures of Moses. No artist pictures of Elijah. But Peter, James, and John knew him.
That's right.
Amen.
They knew them.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. Did I read somewhere said that we will know even as we are known?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Whoa. In that glory world, nobody will have to introduce you to anybody.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Why? I tell you why. Because what's born in you is part of God.
Amen.
That's why God calls you a child of God. Amen. What God birthed in you is God in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Man, if God knows everybody, and He does, and I'm in a glorified body, I'm the Son of God, I shall know a man even
Amen.
As
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How do they know it's life or death? Well, they saw Him. They heard Him. And their senses said that they're real. Amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you this? There's something positive about life after death. Is that right?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Amen.
There's something positive about life after death. Neighbor, we'll enter the joy of the Lord. We'll be with the Lord. We'll be comforted with the Lord. We'll have a body like His. But can I say this? There's something very negative about life after death too.
Oh, yeah.
If you happen to not know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you die, you will not be in a good place. But Brother Wells, I've been a member of church all my life, you know. I've made 3 professions of faith. Let me tell you something. I don't care if somebody has made 1,000 professions of faith. If Christ does not live in them, He's not made them a changed creature. If He's not given them a desire for holiness and righteousness, they still don't have the goods yet. Amen. To die like that means that you would be in hell forevermore. I give you this and I'm done. Now look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. And do you understand what I'm saying? Look here. Wow. Brother Doug, in his teaching this morning, he gave us some information about proof of the Word of God and a changed life.
Yes.
There's a proof of its power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I got proof of its power in my life.
Yes,
God
man.
Made me a changed creature.
Yes,
amen,
amen
to God. That's right.
Amen.
And you know what? How many times have I gone to the house of God and I got leadership from God? How many times have I been in the house of God and I had communion with God while I was there? How many times have I been in the house of God and my heart has been encouraged by fellowship with God's people
right.
in God's house?
Amen.
And how many times have I been in the house of God and God chose to walk through and give us a taste of glory
yes.
while we were there?
Amen.
Amen. And when I see somebody stand up and testify, tears running out of their eyes, and they're testifying about Jesus Christ saving them and changing them, I'm getting a preview of life after death.
Amen.
God, amen.
Yeah,
somebody said, Brother Wells, you know that old Bible's not true. Can I say this? Thou hast arrived too late.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah, you just arrived too late, but that's all there is to it. Amen. I may not be no debater, but I know who I is. Amen to God.
Amen.
And I know what I got.
Amen.
Now give you this now. Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. Do you know what he's doing? He's putting Jesus and Moses and Elijah on the same level.
Right.
That cannot be done.
Right.
And when he did that, there was a cloud. And by the way, he was wrong doing that.
Right.
Matter of fact, one of the Gospels said, he wished not what to say.
Right.
Amen. Have you ever wished not what to say and said it?
Yeah.
Amen. And when you wished not what to say and you said it, you wished 1,000 times, you just continued and wished not and left it there. Amen.
Right.
Amen. And when Peter said what he did, he was wrong. And right there where God was meeting with them, God corrected him and rebuked him. That cloud overshadowed them, and there's a voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Are y'all listening? What he did, what happened was, Peter messed up. He messed up in the house of God.
You ever messed up in the house of God? And right there in what we could say emblematic of the house of God, he messed up. But it was right there in the same place where he got rebuked. You know what happened? When God appeared, you know what they did? What did the Bible say they did? When God, that cloud appeared and the voice came out of the cloud, what did they do? You don't be afraid. You try to turn the book. They fell on their face. You know what that's, you know what that's emblematic of? That is emblematic of repentance. Right. I'm sorry I opened my mouth. I'm sorry I did what I did.
Yep.
They're repenting, neighbor, of their attitude, repenting of what they said. Right there in emblematic in the house of God.
Right.
Do you know what Jesus did? You know what Jesus did right there in the same passage? Yeah. Yeah. He said, be not afraid.
Amen.
He restored immediately.
Amen.
He restored. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever been messed up when you came?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been messed up when you came to God's house? And during the course of the meeting, God's word was heard. God's glory came down.
Amen.
God walked through. And you felt in your heart how really bad you really were. And you asked him to forgive you, whether it was in your seat or in the altar. You asked him to forgive you. And right there in the house of God, he restored you right in the house of God. And you might even went that day not even intending to get restored.
That is right.
But he did it anyway. And when you left that day, you said, it was good for me to be here. Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. When you go today, will you say, it's been good for me to be here?
Amen.
Because I've got help from my Father.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus our Lord. Pray the good, good hand of God would take your word and Lord, you would just send it flushing and God and just rushing deep in our heart and our soul and our mind. And Lord, I don't know what you want to do for anybody. But I know, dear God, you want them to be in communion with you. And I know, Lord, you want them to sense your glory and your presence and your voice. And I ask you, dear God, that whatever's necessary in each of our hearts, that you'd come through here today, you'd do a work, Father, in every heart, in every soul. And we'll thank you. Pastor's coming.